Shavua Tov. May you have a good week and welcome to this special Shofar Ministries Hour live on 1220 AM Christian Radio and the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, which you can re-listen to later this week on ShofarMinistries.net. Don't forget, you can always do that. And let's begin today's program like we should begin our day and our end our day with a prayer. Abba in heaven, thank you for this day, for our teacher, and for our listeners. May we all grow closer to you in these last days. Open our eyes and our ears and enlighten our understanding that we may understand the scriptures. Empower us to do your will, and especially remember all those who call and write and ask us to pray for them, especially for Joan. And we know that you will answer, and we thank you for those that you have answered, which has been just about every one of them, Abba. And we just pray that you respond with your mercy for all these that write. And we just ask that you bless them all. We thank you for giving us listeners and our fellow Christians, our fellow believers. And that's it. We thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to amen that one.
Yes. Thank you, John. And shalom haver to you and all those listening on this fine day. You know, I'd like to remind our listeners once again that your end time biblical questions can be emailed to me or call and leave a detailed message, and I will either answer on the air or by email or by return phone call.
Mm-hmm. And we will be opening the lines later this hour. The number is 888-677 Word. So, you know, stay tuned for that. And if you have the question, just call us. And especially concerning the spring feast, and that's what we're doing today. And that's continued from last week. So don't be afraid to call. And let's say to all of you out there, may you have a beautiful Resurrection Sunday, okay? Because that's coming up. And we'll be back on the show next month after the spring feast, probably the last two Sundays in April, if we're not preempted with hockey playoffs.
That's right. Hey, we are a sports channel as well.
Okay.
You have to
remember true.
That.
Well, yeah.
However, we do have some good news.
That's nice for a change.
That wasn't it. That's pretty
funny.
Well,
that works there, too, I guess.
Well, we have some good news for you.
Yes, we do.
And that is, if the proper scheduling can be arranged in time for the May radio schedule, the Shofar Ministries Hour will soon be on every week.
Yay!
So, from the bottom of my heart, you who have stood up to the plate to help keep us on the air, and you know who you are, John and I thank you. And we'll have more information next month. And you can always check our calendar on my web for the radio times and dates at shofarministries.net.
Yeah, we both thank you. So, Sheila, do we have any news to report today?
I read the news today. Oh,
I have deja vu.
Yes, that's it. We got it. Boy, we sure do have some news. I had to really try to keep it down so we could have a show other than news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always seems as though, you know, that's the case. But
a lot going on.
Yes, a lot going on. But close cooperation between Israel's Air Force and the intelligence services of Israel led to one successful strike after another against the Gazan terrorist targets during the recent round of violence, as I reported last week. Remember I said there was like 300 rocket missiles landing in Israel from Gaza?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Well, Israel did what they needed to do, and a senior officer said that there was a relatively low casualty rate among the Palestinian civilians, which is, you know, always something that they try to do. These poor civilians are caught right in the middle of things, you know, and they're done on purpose.
I know.
You know. But this is made possible now by surgical strikes on rocket-launching crews in the Gaza. Mm-hmm. There's surgical strikes by Israel on these terrorists, and they were carefully assessed beforehand. And when this all started to happen, the terrorists asked for a ceasefire, and they got it. But the talk is that Israel's preciseness has them very concerned. Right now, it's pretty quiet over there. What do you think, John?
Well, yay for that.
Boy, I'll say, but how amazing, you know, Israel is just, they're so good.
She can defend herself.
That's right. And just, to, can you imagine getting a surgically assessed strike on something that hits only, like, the rocket places where they're making the rockets?
Well, they have, Israel has a very good intelligence.
Yes, and I think a lot of it's from God, don't you?
Well, I think so, too, but
I know
they
is.
Are very, very clever, and and they do not want to harm innocent people.
No,
and
they don't.
You have the opposite with their enemies, where innocent people are exactly who they want to harm.
No, exactly.
So, of course, that's not the way it's presented in the news, though.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
But remember how the United States placed strict sanctions on any country, this was very recently now, last month, that did any kind of significantly oil imports from Iran. And they had to reduce it by June 28th. Okay?
Yeah.
And otherwise, there'd be strict sanctions if they didn't reduce their oil imports.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on Tuesday, Hillary Clinton announced exemptions for 11 nations.
What? What countries are those?
I'll just tell you real quick. Britain, Germany, Belgium, France, the Czech Republic, Greece, Italy, Spain, Holland, Poland, and Japan. But very upset that they were not included is Turkey, who imports large quantities of oil, as well as the Turkish banks that Iran uses to facilitate its oil sales.
Hmm.
You know, so I don't know why they would give 11 countries exemptions from that, because now Iran is going to sell them oil, and it's not going to hurt them at all.
I can see that, but doesn't the Soviet Union or Russia now, they supply a lot of oil to Europe, don't they? Are they the biggest supplier, I think?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But even worse, now we're talking about to Turkey now, because they're a little upset that they weren't included in this.
Erdogan's always getting upset.
Well, worse, listen to this. It only recently dawned on Turkey's, his name is Erdogan, that they were not Washington's main channel to Iran. He felt that they were mediators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
He thought so. Well, in the past month, the director of Turkish intelligence has been traveling in and out of Iran when he discovered that the Obama administration and Ayatollah Khamenei's office, he's the big dude, had been in dialogue through a separate secret channel for some time.
Huh. Now, what do you make of that?
Well, I can only imagine.
Hmm.
Oh, I'm telling you, the things that we don't know.
Intrigue, yeah. Like the Cold War.
Sure, for sure. Now, undercover Iranian sources disclosed, did you know that we have some undercover people over there?
I'm sure we do.
Yeah. They disclosed that Iran has ordered the Jewish community to send a Jewish delegation. Now, let me just back up. You know that, remember I reported that there's at least 20,000 Persian Jews still in Iran?
Oh, absolutely.
And that pretty much they're left alone because they want to be able to say, we're a nation of all religions?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they are making some, I'll just read it here so I don't miss anything. They're making some Jewish people march with an Islamic group in Lebanon. And they're scheduled to mass on the Lebanese and the Jordanian borders of Israel at the West Bank and Gaza checkpoints on Friday, March 30th, when Israeli Arabs mark Earth Day. And they do this every year. But this year, they're going to have a march. And they're getting all these thousands, if not a million, young men to march over the borders of Jordan and Lebanese into Israel, and they're putting the Jews from Persia on the front lines. Again,
well,
as a shield.
That's now, very interesting.
They were to be given the honor of acting as vanguard for breaking through the Lebanese-Israeli border fence and leading a mass incursion across the border. This ploy is meant to prevent Israeli soldiers from firing on the trespassers for fear of killing Jewish contingent. Now, Iran claims to have rounded up Islamist delegations from five continents to support the Palestinians. 70 sympathizers are on their way to Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan from India, Malaysia, Pakistan, and other Asian countries. To mark this event, which is Friday, Iran actually has staged a cartoon contest. The winner had drawn around the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount a wall modeled on the fences of Auschwitz.
Well, now, see, they can get away with that, but we can't poke fun of them.
Those, and you don't hear about this if it's
no.
going to happen.
No, they're allowed to do anything hateful, but...
But could that start a little war called Psalm
83? I think it could. I think it could. It just may, and I really think that those Jews that are ordered to march are not going to march. And I'm going to pray that if they do, they'll somehow end up in the back line.
Well, yeah. It's either that or they'll get killed.
Yeah, well, I don't think
either way.
No way.
They get killed.
No way. They're not going to go yeah. for that. Israel's not going to let that happen. And don't you think, and Sheila, by the way, don't you think Iran wants to keep Israel sidetracked anyway? You know, so, you know, not to take out, get their mind off that, what they're doing in their nuclear facilities.
Absolutely.
You know,
this
is a
keep them
good,
occupied.
Yeah, this is a good diversion, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, all these people marching on the border.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
They have a reason for everything. But God knows all about it.
Sure
now,
does.
Syria, you know, Mr. Assad, is still remarkably holding his own, but he has the help of the Russian military, which is stationed in Syria. And again, I want to remind you people, this is the first time in modern history that Russia directly intervenes on the ground in the Middle East. But the Bible says in Ezekiel 38 that Russia will ally with Iran. And now for the first time ever, this was prophesied how many thousands of years ago,
mm-hmm.
we're seeing the Bible again, prophecy being fulfilled. It is absolutely amazing.
It is. Absolutely amazing. Now, which would, you know, if this happens, now if we don't want to, the U.S. doesn't want to have a confrontation in this with this battle. We don't want this fight, right? And NATO doesn't want to have this fight either.
No, not with Russia.
Yeah, because they don't want to get involved with Russia now. And to do anything in Syria would do, for us to get involved in Syria would be getting involved with a confrontation with Russia.
Well, not only that, and as I said last week, too, that Syria's air defenses are now five times more sophisticated than those in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we, you know, NATO did get involved in Libya, but I don't think they're going to do it again. Because now airstrikes are riskier and much more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I said last week, Iran, who now flies in weapons and supplies, which they could not have done before when we were in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
It's protecting its airspace. So Syria's getting all these extra weapons. Russia's coming in to help because Russia is siding with Iran, and Iran's protecting Syria because Syria is needed
mm-hmm.
for Iran to finally go after Israel, which is their goal.
Mm, that is wild. So does this mean... bomb Iran or live with Iran with a bomb? Okay, let me say that again. Does this mean bomb Iran or live with Iran with a bomb?
That I think it
like
means live with Iran with a bomb. I really do.
And a bomb, bomb, bomb there.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like a song. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well,
but
as I've been saying,
yes,
I really don't think that Israel's going to do it. Not without the backing of us. And if they did, it would be very covertly.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
very
absolutely.
Small,
absolutely.
And just really prolong it, but it would only prolong it to God's timing. Because it's all predicted that Iran is going to go against Israel.
It is.
I mean, it's
yes.
fair.
It is. Whether it's nuclear or not, they're going against them.
Right. And Israel's going to be their partner along with a few others.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, we got something scary, too, that's going to happen in the Supreme Court.
Yes.
For all you rapture people that follow us with that.
Yes. Tomorrow, they're supposed to decide whether the Obamacare is constitutional.
Mm-hmm. And why is that so important?
Well, because there's a lot of stuff in there. In fact, one of them I just found out last week with the help of you that apparently the national health care law is on its way, not only on its way to the Supreme Court, but there's also a rule in Section 2521, Subtitle C-11, is that when fully implemented, will require all citizens in the health care system to have implanted in them a radioactive or a, not radioactive.
A radio frequency.
Frequency.
ID chip.
ID chip.
Yep.
To screen out those not only allowed on medical care, but to decide how much they have to pay when they go to the doctor. You know, everybody thinks, oh, we're going to get free medical care. There's nothing free about it.
No.
Maybe if you don't have a job and you're, you know, eating out of garbage can, you'll probably get it free.
Then it's free, right.
But otherwise, you pay according to what you make. And this little ID chip will also be tracked into your banking system.
Right.
So they'll know exactly what's in there, how much you make. And then when you go to the doctor, you will have to pay a certain amount according to what's in there, or I don't know how they're going to do it.
So Monday, March 26th, if that passes, that means that will give the government the right to implant a chip in you. That now this is spoken of in the book of Revelation.
Oh, yeah, it's prophecy again.
And it's prophecy again. Will it be the Antichrist? We don't know, but we think everything is falling into place. For
right.
Him, you know.
We are seeing the implementation of something that's going to take place about 3 years after the rapture.
Right. And don't think they and anybody listening, if you don't think that the ID chip has a long way to go. They have perfected this thing.
Oh, no.
They've been working on it for years.
Yes. Yes, but this is the first time I've ever heard that everyone's going to have it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I heard it once before in Revelation, though.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and it'll be so easy because the computer, all they have to do is change whatever they want and put requirements in there, you know, anytime they want to.
I know.
So when the Antichrist comes along, he's going to say, well, now, no one's going to be able to buy or sell, and they'll use the chip to decide who worships the beast or not. So my advice to people today, though,
yes,
that before the rapture and until they say, are you going to bow down, you know, to mm-hmm. this man, you don't have to worry about it, okay?
Right.
You know, people say, well, I'm not going to get it. And I go, well, if you're still here, that means, you know, we're not asked to worship the beast. And that's really what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the implementation, and I think that's the part that is, I don't know, depending on what side you're on. Is it exciting to you, or are you scared?
Yeah, that's true. Or,
how do you feel?
Well, this could be scary for a lot of people.
For a lot of people.
But you know what? If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've repented and asked Him into your heart and prayed that He would help you live and you ask Him to do His will in your life so you can do His will,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to worry about that. You become born again. And you're going to be taken out of this scenario.
I believe it and teach it with all my heart.
Yeah. And if it should happen that you would, God forbid, die before all this, you know you will be in heaven with the Lord.
That's right.
Then you'll have a peace about it. If you do this, if you do take Jesus as your Savior and trust in Him, He'll give you a peace, and it's a peace that passes any kind of peace you've ever experienced in your life.
And it's that joy unspeakable, too. People ask me all the time, how do you remain so happy and do this and that? And I go, it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was just asked it again from one of my family members on St. Patrick's Day. We had a family reunion, and that's how, you know, you've been through so much lately, and I'll spare people with all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and yet you seem to get through things so well, and you still have a smile on your face. And I finally said, it's Jesus, hello. And they go, oh, yeah, I know. But, you know, and then I'd say, no, it's Jesus, hello. But anyway, enough of that.
You do have to trust Him. And even if you are a Christian and you've committed your life before, you're born again. But it's a daily thing. And we do have to make that decision. I'm going to trust You, Lord, today. And, you know, He's right there with the power to get you through what you need.
Amen to that. You know, they already have these chips in just about everything you buy, all the new TVs and computers. It's not really a surprise. I mean, I've been told that mm-hmm. at some point in time, if they wanted to, they could even look at you through the TV.
Well, yeah, I've heard that, too. I know.
It's beyond my comprehension, but...
I know. We don't want to make you paranoid, but they can look at you.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Oh, boy.
It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, if that's tomorrow coming.
I don't see how they can uphold it, because it's not constitutional to make anybody do anything.
To buy... Well, actually, the big controversy is, can the government force you to buy something?
Right. The only thing they can force you to buy is car insurance, but they can't force you to have a car.
That's right.
So if you don't want to buy car insurance, just don't have a car.
There you go.
They can't make you do it.
I think they're working on that.
Yeah.
In case you get a car. Yes. In case you ever, oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're going to do the spring feast today.
We're going to do a quick summary of what we talked about last week, and then we'll go into our break.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and do some new stuff, okay?
Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
Okay, again, remember that spring feast is just 2 weeks away. And
that's hard to believe.
I know.
You know, like just like you say, just knowing a little bit of your Hebrew roots, the Jewish principles, first century Judaism will help you further understand the end time scenario.
Absolutely.
A little bit of that and a lot of understanding.
That's right. And great example, of course, is these appointments of God. I mean, he made appointments, and Jesus kept the first four to the day, to the hour. And that's what we talk about.
I got a goosebump.
Exciting.
Can you
I
see
know.
That? I got a goosebump.
I know.
Or three.
And some year, the Jewish Messiah will return. It's called the Second Coming. And he came during the first four feasts, three especially, and sent the Holy Spirit on the fourth. He's got three left. I believe it'll surround his Second Coming without a shadow of a doubt.
Right. I'm with you there. He came and fulfilled four of them personally. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come down here and do this.
Yeah.
He's going to come down and do the other three.
I mean, how much does it take for us to see this?
I know. If he did the first four, chances are pretty good, folks. He's going to do the last three.
I think so. Hello.
Yeah.
Knock on there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, the first three that he fulfilled was the first one was Passover. And again, we talked about this on the last show. If you want to hear that, you can go to my webpage, showforministries.net, radio podcast. And it's there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Passover, he actually fulfilled it with the death and blood on the cross on the same day that Israel was delivered out of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Put the blood on the doorpost. Jesus on the same day, Nisan 14, many years later.
His blood on the cross, which was made from doorposts. I've heard that.
That's right. And if the blood was on the doorpost, the angel of death would pass over. That's how it got its name.
And that's how we got our life.
That's right. And Jesus' blood on the cross, all you have to do is believe it.
There you go.
I mean, you don't have to do anything. Just believe.
Yeah.
And then you're spared from death as well.
Yeah. Believe and trust, I would say, too. Trust him. He can do it. He's a big God. And everything's, I know, we just did the news, and everything seems like it's out of control, but don't think for 1 minute that it is, because God has it all.
That's right.
In control.
He already knows all this.
Next feast.
A Feast of Unleavened Bread, which began the next day. The next day, which would be at sundown, and that's the going out of Egypt after they had their quick dinner.
On the same day.
That's right. And on the same day, the burial of Jesus, and that would be Nisan 15, he was put into the grave.
So
the same day that they left Egypt.
There's
now,
feast.
Where's the connection there? Of course, the connection is that they left Egypt, and it was leaving their bondage of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And with Jesus' burial, he took our sins to the grave. There's the connection. Same day. Many years later. And then we have 2 days after that, the Feast of First Fruits. A lot of people in the pagan world call it Easter.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's the Resurrection Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the day after the Sabbath during Passover week, always on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That year it was Nisan 17. And the same day that the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, giving them new life.
That's right.
Free from the bondage. Free from their enemy who was just destroyed. Jesus, resurrection of the dead, freed us from the enemy who is now destroyed, basically. I mean, he doesn't have a chance. I was going to say he doesn't have a chance in hell, but, you know. He doesn't.
He's done. He's
That's
really,
right.
he will be, he is, and he will
he's
be
He's left
toast.
To tempt us a little bit right now, but the writing's on the wall for
so
that.
So there you go. There's three feasts right there That's that right. Jesus came and fulfilled personally, and he also fulfilled earlier on the same dates, being God the Father, I guess we say. We don't get too confusing here. Yeah. But, you know, he's done it again. He's come down and personally fulfilled these feasts.
That's right. And then 50 days later, of course, he sent the Holy Spirit.
Ah, and yeah, that's so the other feast. Yeah.
That was Pentecost. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that more in June, because that's when that will be. But he fulfilled that as well. So there's three left.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles. And, of course, we've talked about that many times in the fall time.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, if you want to know more about that, it's on my webpage.
That's right. And if you want to just visit the webpage, you'll find all our radio podcasts. They're archived there. You can get last week's show there, I'm pretty sure. And we'll be coming up to a break here pretty soon, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Can I give the phone number, or do you want to...
You can in a minute, but I just wanted to tell people that when we come back, we're going to look at the spiritual aspect for the church of the seven feasts being fulfilled in our hearts, which is a picture of the kingdom in our hearts. The kingdom of God is here now.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about some little things if we have time, like when was Jesus really crucify. Was it Thursday or a Friday? Some say a Wednesday. We'll talk about that. And a couple other things. So
okay.
I hope people will stay tuned and come back.
Yeah, and before we get out of here, we're just going to come back. So don't go. Just stay with us here. But Shofar Ministries is a 501c3. So all your donations are tax deductible. And they are very extremely important to this Hebraic Roots ministry. You can use PayPal on our web or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter list, so include your email address as well if you have one. Be sure to check out the webpage, and all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there. DVD teachings are also available and make a great gift. And the three-part series on the rapture with so many scriptures, you'll love this study. We did this on the program a few months back. Great to hand out to your Christian friends who might not think we're leaving soon. Now, the lines will be open. That number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after this little break. And we got a great song about the rapture.
The resurrection.
Okay, I read that wrong. I'm sorry. We have a song about the resurrection. So stay with us.
AM 1220 The Word presents It's half price discounts from some of your favorite places to dine, shop, and get away.
Treat yourself to a two-night stay at the Gugisberg Swiss Inn. Enjoy the peaceful country setting in the rolling hills of Ohio's Amish country. You can even enjoy a guided horseback ride.
For details, visit WHKWradio.com and click on the Half Price Deals banner. That's WHKWradio.com.
Listeners are discovering a way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHomeUSA.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHomeUSA.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company, and they do business in over 80 countries. No pressure. No matter your age, education, or experience, you can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table 24/7, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHomeUSA.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHomeUSA.com. IncomeAtHomeUSA.com. That's IncomeAtHomeUSA.com.
I'm here at Walmart with Sarah. Now, Sarah, where do you normally shop for a simple project like repainting a room?
You know, the big home improvement stores.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Walmart has the stuff you're looking for?
I don't know.
Let's go. Come on. Walk with me.
Okay.
Boom.
Oh, great.
What do you see?
I see everything I would need.
I'm seeing Glidden 2-in-1 Paint Plus Primer, mm-hmm. 3M Painter's Tape,
ooh.
Sureline Paint Tray Kits.
That's exciting.
And low prices on all of it, too.
This is great.
Okay, that's Projects Made Simple, painting an accent wall. See for yourself at Walmart right now. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
The gates and doors are barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in the hope of sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away.
Who wrote that? Remember? Don Francisco, and she covered it and did a great job with it. Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here, because he's alive.
That's right,
and
he
that's,
is.
That's why it's called Resurrection Sunday, okay?
That's right, amen.
Hey, we got the lines open. Phone numbers are, or is, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Oh, a reminder before we get back into our teaching on the Spring Feast. Shofar Assembly will not be meeting in Chesterton next month, okay? And this is just due to a little conflict with the church schedule and our schedule. So, but anyway, we won't be meeting, so just skip ahead to the next month. We'll be there. Sheila will be at Lakeshore Assembly that Thursday.
The day before.
And you can go up there and listen to her teaching. She'll be teaching on the Passover Seder, which she loves to do. And... this is April 5th, and it's at night at Lakeshore Assembly of God, and that's at 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard in Mentor. And if you need directions, just call Sheila,
834-9006.
There you go. Okay.
That's the Thursday, first Thursday in April, and it's first night of Passover, I think.
Yes. Yes, it
something
is.
Like
I think
that.
Something like that. And also our next Shofar Ministries Hour will be broadcast in...
Last two Sundays in April.
Last two Sundays in April.
Okay. If.
Oh, yeah, if. Well, it'll be the same time, but there's... What okay.
Might be playoffs. We won't know until the beginning of
the
April.
The hockey playoffs.
So they can check my calendar page.
Okay, pray, folks, because this depends on a hockey puck, whether we're going to be on or not. So please, we need your prayers on that.
No, let it be.
Okay. If you have a want to be on our newsletter or mailing list, and we'd like you to be, because we can keep you updated with all the stuff that we do, just send your request to Sheila at shofarministries.net via email or snail mail. If you don't have the internet, send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. If possible, I know times are tough, tuck in a love offering to help us stay on the air. And I want to remind everybody, too, out there about the Wycliffe Bible Translators. They're going to hold a free banquet dinner out at Mary Yoder's Amish Kitchen, and that's on Route 608 out in Middlefield in Amish country. And a missionary will be speaking on recent language translations. Wycliffe's a great Bible translators, and the work Wycliffe is currently involved in. This is extremely interesting. This will be Thursday, April 19th at 6:15. A love offering will be taken, and you can call and make reservations. I'll give you the number. It's 1-800-THE-WORD. That's 1-800-843-9673. Don't confuse that with our phone lines, please. Ours is simply 888-677-WORD, okay? But if you got all those down, you're a remarkable person. You're really paying attention.
Yes, you are. All right, let's get back to...
let's talk about Easter now, or Passover.
Easter. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
And we talked a little bit about this last week, that Easter was celebrated by the pagans way before Christ rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Constantine that wanted to combine the two to please everybody. But they still hold to the pagan date of the Sunday today. We still hold on to the pagan date of the Sunday after the full moon during the spring equinox. Mm-hmm. That's when Easter always is. Now, this is not always the Feast of the Resurrection, which occurs on the Sunday during Passover, which is called the Feast of First Fruits, in Nisan, which is their Hebrew month.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it does fall on the same Sunday, though, which is always just really nice, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell you a little story about how when it was a month away and we decided not to have it until the real first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did we get slack from some of our distant family members.
Oh, my.
Ooh, it did not work out well. What do you mean? That's, you know, you're not Jewish. And it,
oh, well,
I think they
going,
know by now what I'm teaching, but I guess
well,
they don't.
You're going to get that. And you, maybe you should have asked them. You said, so do you think Jesus would celebrate Easter?
That's right.
That'd been a good question, right?
Yeah. Well, hardly. Would he celebrate Passover, though?
Yes.
And he did.
Of course.
He certainly did. Of course, mm-hmm. He was the Passover. But he celebrated Passover actually three times before this Passover when
that's
he died.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. So Paul even told us not to mix leaven.
Which is a type of bunnies.
Yeah, the Feast of First Fruits.
Yeah.
But to keep it with sincerity, and that's, of course, in 1 Corinthians 5:6. So let us, as true Christians, remember the Passover season, mm-hmm. particularly the Feast of First Fruits, which is the third appointment. It's always on a Sunday during the Passover week, and this year it's April 8th.
Same day this year as Easter, but
right.
What should Christians do when it's a different week? Should we actually participate in this, do you think? Or?
Well, that's a hard one, especially when you got little kids and mm-hmm. family that get together, and I know I've had to deal with that, and it's very difficult. But I did put my foot down, and I said, you know what? There will be no rabbits, okay?
Mm-hmm. I like that. No
yeah,
rabbits.
No rabbits. And we have to remember that it's the resurrection of Christ, you know, and the purpose of it, and
mm-hmm.
we talk about that. And there are some eggs. However, they're those plastic eggs, and inside, my daughter put scriptures in it, or, you know, pieces of candy maybe, but a lot of scriptures inside the egg. And then I teach the children that the egg is a picture of the Trinity and show them why.
Oh, that's good.
So I try to use it. You know, even the Jews during the Dark Ages added an egg to the Seder plate
mm-hmm.
as a sign of new birth or new life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can take the egg back.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Then we can scramble it, too, and eat it.
That's right. But, John.
Yes.
What else happened on Nisan 17? Again, this is important because mm-hmm. I think God does do things on certain dates.
Well, because I've been paying attention to Shofar Ministries teaching for years now, I know that Noah's Ark rested on this date, Feast of First Fruits, right? Haman was hung on the gallows, as we talked about last month, mm-hmm. on this date.
Mm-hmm.
Dates do seem to be significant.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. And again, it just comes right back to the appointments that God made with man. You know, he kept his appointments on those same dates. His side was even pierced at the same hour that the lamb was pierced in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
The same hour.
Same hour.
It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. But then our God is amazing.
That's right. Okay, so anyway, again, that's a personal choice,
mm-hmm.
but use it as a teaching tool.
Right.
Teach the truth.
No rabbits.
No bunny rabbits.
No bunny suits. You know, maybe you could find a congregation that's doing a Passover meal called a Seder meal and join in the supper. I know you can call us. I can give you the address and to one, at least. I know that you'll be. And you'll be blessed if you do this. You really will be.
Call John.
Call me. Just call Sheila. Don't call me. No. Before we talk about the actual meaning of Passover now, isn't Palm Sunday, as we know it today, very meaningful as well as in Hebrew Roots teaching?
Yes.
I mean, it's almost the same, isn't it?
Funny you should ask.
Funny I should ask that.
It's very important, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's specifically spelled out in Exodus 12 that on the 10th day of the month, which they were currently in, and we know that that was Nisan, okay, and this is 4 days
before
Passover,
mm-hmm.
they were to take an unblemished young male lamb of appropriate size for their family from the sheep or the goats.
Okay, Sheila, why either sheep or goats?
Well, because it represents all mankind, and later, Jesus, as the Lamb of God, would die for all people.
I see.
Not just the Jews.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they were to keep the lamb for 4 days in their home and just love on this little lamb. Can you imagine the kids falling in love with this?
And little lambs are cute.
They are.
When they get older, they're not so cute.
No. What, us or the lamb?
The lamb.
Okay.
Well, us too sometimes.
Anyway, they were supposed to keep it in their home for 4 days and examine it in detail for any blemish, sort of hair by hair.
Mm-hmm.
They had to make sure that there wasn't any discoloration and all this stuff. And it would take 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then every household would kill it when the sun is exactly between its highest peak and sundown, also called twixt the evening, which is in your King James Version, which is what we know now to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or the ninth hour, because their hours begin at 6 in the morning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, John, tell our listeners what time would twixt the morning be?
Well, it's got to be between 6 and noon, right?
That's right.
6 a.m. and the middle of the highest point of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be 9 a.m.
Right, right, right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
Wow. So we can look at this. This is a fantastic kind of typology of Nisan 10. Can we look at that?
Yes. Well, remember, the Father chose the Lamb, and it was examined for 4 days. So on Nisan 10, which we know to be Palm Sunday, as we know it,
right?
Jesus was the first and only, let me back up, Jesus for the first time and the only time was heralded as king in the Gospels. And he is, of course, a picture of the chosen Lamb by God. Just like the Father chose the Lamb, the Father chose Jesus.
The father of the family, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I understand from historic writings that it was at the end of the parade of picking of this Passover lamb into Jerusalem. You know, they had a parade.
Yes.
They would go and get it from the area around Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was born in Bethlehem?
What a coincidence.
Yes.
You think?
You think?
Yeah.
So anyway, they would pick this lamb, and then they would have a parade with the lamb up to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that Jesus then, who had just gotten his donkey, kind of joined it at the end of this parade. So the crowds were already there. And then when they saw Jesus on this parade, they continued to hail him. And those that knew who he was or felt and believed, because there was some believers by then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Hailed him as king, and it got the crowd going where they were all hallelujah him.
Yeah.
As king. So when I saw that, I thought, what a beautiful picture, you know?
And they were shouting Hosanna in the highest.
Exactly.
Hosanna, and that's
So here was the Lamb of God following the lamb that would be sacrificed for Israel.
Amazing.
It's pretty amazing. So then, for 4 days, now after he did this, he
went up to
right
Jerusalem,
to the temple.
Went to the temple.
And he was questioned and examined by just about everybody in the temple, and especially after he turned over the tables for the thievery. Remember, that was the first thing he did after he was hailed as king?
Yeah, not really for selling, but for the thievery they were doing.
They were overcharging to the money exchanging thing, you know, for the temple coins, because you have temple coins to buy the birds for certain sacrificing through the week. You know, people that had traveled couldn't bring these dead animals or animals that had to be killed. So they would buy them from the temple people, and they knew that, and so they would overcharge them to put it into temple money. That's what I understand from the history that I read.
Okay.
That was why he was mad. Not that they were selling it, because they were selling in the outer court, but the fact that they were thieveries and that he knew that.
Of course he would, because he knew what was in man's heart, it says in the Gospels.
That's right.
He knew what was in a man's heart. He could look right into you and
That's
see.
Right.
Now, he was being examined by the priests,
scribes, Pharisees, anybody that wanted to ask him a question that was in the temple.
And we can read about that where?
In the Gospels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere around John.
17, sure.
18.
Mm-hmm.
Right in there.
Okay, cool.
But what's interesting is that after all that, Pilate finally said the same thing that a father says to them that examined the lamb at home for 4 days. I find no blemish in this lamb. Well, Well, pilots are the same thing. He says, I find
right.
no fault in him at all. And that's John 18:38.
What a picture.
Yeah.
That is a huge
picture.
But
that's what I mean. All those little details that Jesus fulfilled. How possibly could have anyone arranged that if not God?
It has to
Impossible.
Be God. Yes, it has to be God. Every detail fulfilled. And speaking of details, how about the first Passover?
That's right.
The one that happened in Egypt. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, let's do that. I think we have time.
Okay. It says see paper.
Yes, and I'm going to read it because I'm going to have to go kind of fast.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
On the first Passover in Egypt, now again, that's Nisan 14, that's their Jewish month, and you can find this in Exodus 12, verse around 6. Between the evenings, the father was to take the lamb outside. The family would lay their hands on the lamb to declare the offering. Now again, that's between the sun at its highest point to when it sets.
So when it
sets. That's the evening part of the day.
So that would be maybe around 3?
Around 3, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the morning part of the day would be from sun up to the highest point.
Okay, so this is now the evening, between the evening.
Right, it's back to 3 o'clock,
okay.
Just like Jesus died, had his side pierced at 3 o'clock.
Okay, and this is the first Passover.
That's right, this is in Egypt. The father would cut the throat and catch the blood in a basin called a sop. He would then take hyssop, similar to a sponge in quality. It was a plant.
Mm-hmm.
He'd dip it in the blood of the lamb, and forcefully sprinkled to the lintel and the two doorposts, and placed the basin at the bottom so to completely outline the door in blood. So it was completely outlined, not just the top.
Oh.
Interesting,
okay,
huh?
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after sundown, they would eat the dinner, and now at sundown it would be not the 14th, but now the 15th.
Because it begins on sundown.
And now this is what we call the first day of the unleavened bread, because it would actually go on for a week. And they would eat the dinner with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. And that was basically the only Passover meal that they had. It wasn't all these other things. It
was the tradition added.
The bitter herbs and the unleavened bread.
Just three things.
Now remember, leaven is always a picture of sin. They had to eat it quickly, for they were about to leave very soon. Now what is that a picture of?
Yeah, what is that a picture of?
Well, Jesus came, and he is our bread from heaven, and he is without sin. He is unleavened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they eat unleavened bread during Passover. They don't understand that, but those of us that accept what he did understand that he is the unleavened bread, and that's why they had to eat unleavened bread.
That's right. And we do. On Passover, we eat...
Sure, because you choose to.
Matzah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun.
Yes, it surely is.
It is.
And it's great teaching for your children.
It
that's
is.
The main thing.
That is the main thing.
Now, he goes on in verse 12 to say, I, God, will pass through the land and strike all the firstborn without the blood on the doorposts, both man and animal, as a judgment against all the gods. So, that's what happened after the deaths of the firstborns that did not have the blood, including Pharaoh's. He finally gives them permission to go, to leave, to sacrifice to their God. But remember, back in Exodus 3:18 and Exodus 5:3, they only asked to be able to go for 3 days to worship away from the gods in the wilderness, to get along with their own God.
That's right.
So it wasn't like they wanted to leave forever. And yet he wouldn't even let them do that. But finally he said, okay, go, leave. Because of the famine now, the Hebrews were willing to be owned by Pharaoh. That's why they went there. So they were willing to be owned by Pharaoh in Genesis 47:19. But not Egypt. So with the death of the Pharaoh, the ownership of them would cease, therefore freeing them to go on to Canaan, which of course we know happened.
Okay.
That's why they didn't have to go back, even though they said they would. You get it?
Everything
was done right.
I think it was.
So I got to hurry. They left Egypt in the morning of the 15th, camped at Sukkot to retrieve the bones of Joseph. Then on the 16th, they camped at Ethan. The next morning, still the 16th, they journeyed to Baheroth because the dates doesn't change until sundown. Reaching the Reed Sea, the evening of the 17th, the Hebrews crossed through the parted sea through most of the night when the Egyptians entered also, where God destroyed them all as he let the waters fall back into the sea. And you can read about that in Exodus 14.
There
so
you
that
go.
That was the first
That's
Passover.
That's the first Passover. And just as, in some many ways, as dramatic as the other one.
Okay, we're just about out of time, but basically, you need to have those feasts spiritually in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You need to accept the blood.
Mm-hmm.
You need to believe that he took your sins to the grave. And then you need to walk in the newness of life because of his resurrection.
There you go.
Then you get immersed in the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you hear the calling of God on your life. And you really have to go through these procedures in order to really hear the call of God. And this is all through the Word.
And this is really what Passover is all about, isn't it?
Yes, and then we yield ourselves to God so that we can be face to face with Him in the Holy of Holies. And then a daily rest in the Messiah. And this is where the kingdom of God is in us. So if you're a Christian, you have all this inside of you right now. So we have even more to look forward to, because not only do we have Jesus inside of us in the kingdom, and that's what gives us our peace and our joy and understanding, but we have another kingdom to look forward to when he rules and reigns as king.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't
that's
he great?
We can rule. We can actually beat sin.
Absolutely.
In this life.
That's it.
I mean, we won't totally beat it, but we can, you know, enough to get us into the kingdom.
That's right.
And it's through his blood. And if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, listeners, or maybe you're concerned you might be one that just has the head knowledge and you really haven't had the heart conviction, just get on your knees right now. Trust him. Repent. Confess those sins that have been lingering in your life. Any way you do that would be great. Try to remember and then commit or even recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But remember, it's your choice. Choose him, and that's your decision. And you can choose where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God doesn't send anyone to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes. And, you know, the soul never dies. It has to go somewhere, and there's only two places. It's with God or with Satan. So you decide, and I know you'll make the right choice. We're praying that you will. Okay? Don't waste your life away because, you know, because of Jesus' resurrection, you can live forever. And who knows what God can accomplish in you.
He's waiting to accomplish something in you. He's longing to do that.
Yes, he is. And he does have a plan for you.
Don't you want to live for God and do his will? Come on.
Hey, it's fun.
Get off the fence.
There you go. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? Just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office at 440-834-9006. And a reminder, the last two Sundays in April, we will be right back here, okay, if we're not preempted by a hockey puck. Remember that. And all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour, okay? We're going to leave you today with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom.
In the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net.